God, and thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, allowing us to accomplish all we have throughout this week, to have enjoyed a good celebration on yesterday. Now, Lord, as we come to our time in the Word today, I pray that you would speak through your oracle today. Use your God in your service and to your glory. I pray that you would allow me, Lord, to decrease that you may increase. I pray that the light of your love, oh God, will shine forth through your Word today. Someone may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I want to read in your hearing verses 1 through 6 today. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6. There is a word from the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. We do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. What is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and this opportunity, O Lord, to come and share both with those present in this house today and those who are on Facebook. We pray that you would smile on us, dear Heavenly Father. Use your servant today. Bless your word, dear Heavenly Father. I pray that it will go forth with your power and that, Lord, it will reach the hearts of those who are worshiping today. I pray that you will be glorified to the highest, dear Heavenly Father, and that somebody who is in darkness, somebody who is blind, will come to see today, Lord, and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, use my mind and my mouth today to communicate the message you have placed on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about the blind being made to see. Sight is one of the five senses that God has given to us as human beings, and probably the sense that is most valued by us because we are visual creatures. In the context of this passage, the reference is not to physical sight, but spiritual sight, or spiritual understanding, if you will. How many times at some point have we all said, I just don't see it. I can't see that. Man, I don't know what he sees in her, or even what she sees in him. And each statement is not a reference to being able to see something with our eyes, but it is our inability to see something with our minds. Amen. And I remember even back in college days that a frat brother helping me with some math, but that wasn't my favorite subject. Amen. And as they were explaining and showing me how the formula worked, I could hear myself saying, man, I just don't see it. I don't get it. And many times that is the reference that we all use, amen, because it has to do with our understanding and our inability to be able to grasp something. Well, as much as physical sight is valued and important to us, spiritual sight is of much greater value, amen, and much more beneficial even than our physical sight. Amen. See, there are blind people who can't see anything, who are living good lives. They are fulfilled. They are happy because they have accepted that state. But there are people who have their physical sight whose lives are all messed up. Amen. Their lives are just nothing more than a mess, and it's a strong chance that they may not make heaven until God opens their eyes. Amen. This passage deals with the light of Christ's gospel. Just as light is critical for us to see naturally, so light is critical for us to see spiritually. Amen. And so when we look at the text today, understand that Paul is moving in the direction of helping the church at Corinth to grasp the need for spiritual vision. Amen. Let's dig into the text. And our first point is today, simply based on this verse 1, is that we don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, Paul was given, and so were we, amen, this ministry through the mercy and the goodness of Almighty God. And this ministry is the new covenant gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul received mercy, and so do you and I. When you receive something that you're undeserving of, it generally prompts or motivates a person to give more of themselves than they would traditionally. Understanding, amen, mercy is God. Mercy is not God not giving us what we really deserve. We deserve death and hell. We deserve to be in hell suffering for all the sins that we committed. But God has had mercy on all of us. And Paul recognized that he was undeserving of God's entrusting him with the ministry of Jesus Christ and receiving, amen, praise the Lord, and not receiving, amen, the punishment that he truly deserved. Because you remember last week, he said he was a blasphemer, and that all those other things that he called himself, Paul knew that he was not deserving of the mercy that God showed to him. Losing heart is not something that we do because we are servants of God, and we know that God, he has entrusted us, amen, with this ministry. He called us to it, and he entrusted us with that ministry to do it. Not just preachers and pastors, but every child of God has a ministry to seek the lost and help them come into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in this context, surrendering is equivalent to throwing in the towel. It is equivalent of losing heart, I should say, is the equivalent of throwing in the towel. It is the equivalent of surrendering to Satan and his desire, amen, to stop or hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. But see, it doesn't matter how dark it may get. It doesn't matter how tough the storms and the attacks of the enemy might become. We do not lose heart. We keep pushing, we keep pressing, we keep serving. In spite of life's difficulties, we don't lose heart. Secondly, we been changed. Amen. And verse 2 of the same chapter says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We all have had secret sins. Things that were hidden in our lives. Sin affects our spiritual vision like rain hitting the satellite if you have satellite TV. It hinders our understanding. And you know how it is if you have satellite TV and it begins to storm and the rain falls, that you'll get some static on the line. Ultimately, there will be a pop-up that says, searching for signal. Whenever we have unconfessed sin in our lives and we're trying to hear from God to see what he's up to, we can't get the signal that God is broadcasting, amen, and it's because there's a disruption on the line, and it's called sin. Some stuff in our lives was so deep that even our best friends for life, if you want to call them that, didn't know about it. But we have given up. We have renounced. We have repented to God for the ugly, immoral, sinful stuff that was present in our lives. Those things that were hidden deep down on the inside, things we would be ashamed if others knew them. We have repented. We have turned away from those things, and now we are in pursuit of holiness through our relationship with Christ Jesus. We've been changed. Amen. And we have, amen, purpose to rightly divide the word of truth. We're not going to try to be slick and deceitful. We made up our minds that we're not going to pervert, we're not going to twist, we're not going to try to spiritualize the word of God for our personal gain or our personal advantage. You know how some will give God's word a new interpretation. Some will take the word of God, and I don't mean just preachers and teachers, pastors, amen, and they will turn the word of God, they'll change it, they will pervert it, amen, give it a whole new application and interpretation in order to gain for themselves. Now, let me say this. But God, amen, has allowed us to be his representatives, and for that reason, it is imperative that we accurately, amen, allow the manifestation of the gospel that we preach it, and then we can commend ourselves to the conscience of every man in and every woman in the sight of God. And that's because we have been changed. Then the truth of the matter is that we were all once blind. Satan had blinded all of us. And the third and fourth verse say, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, if the word of God, if the gospel is veiled or covered, it is to those who are lost, those who are perishing, as Paul said. Why? I'm so glad you asked this morning. The problem is not the message or the messenger. The problem is with the hearers who are on their way to heaven. Amen. Because their minds have been blinded by the God of this age. And this age is the present mindset expressed and seen in the ideas, options, the hopes, the goals, and views that that encompasses the world's philosophy and its education and even our business practices here on this earth. See, understand. You need to understand that preachers really can't persuade anybody. God is the one who has to do that. Amen. We tell the story, we share the gospel, but the change comes about because God has persuaded that person in their heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan doesn't want you to. He doesn't want you to believe the gospel, so he has blinded the eyes of your understanding. Amen. So the illumination of the gospel can't shine through, because if it shines through and you see who God is and you see his love, oh, have mercy. You'll turn from darkness and move in the direction of the light. We, as believers, have to do more than come down the aisle. We have to commit our lives to Christ, and the evidence ought to be seen in how we live from day to day. Why? Man, y'all got a lot of questions this morning. But in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Now, Paul is just simply saying that the natural person, the natural man, cannot see or understand the things of God because they are foolishness to him. They don't understand them. They can't grasp them. They can't get their mind wrapped around them because they are interpreted and made clear through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, when you don't understand something, and most of all, when you don't want to understand it, you want to call it foolishness, and you want to say it don't make sense, and all of those kinds of things. Now, nor do we understand them unless the Holy Spirit helps us through his discernment. Amen. The unconverted person who lacks a relationship with Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of God must shine through Jesus Christ, amen, who is the exact representation of God. That's the only way that person can come to know Christ and be saved. That's the only way the blindness can be removed, and that is that the light of God in the person of Jesus Christ shines through that darkness and gives illumination, gives understanding to the individual who once was blind. Through the illumination of the Word, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to understand. And how long do we go without understanding? He gives us the ability to understand that which was, we didn't understand in the beginning. And God opens it up to make it clear to us, amen, and now we have that ability to discern, interpret, and apply the Word of God. But let me say this. Even though we have that ability as believers, we still need pastors, we still need teachers, we still need to spend time in study of the Word of God so that we can know that we are accurately applying and sharing the Word of God. You know, don't think because you got a little understanding that you don't need nobody but just you. God has fixed it where we are dependent on one another. But let me hit this last point, and we're going to head for a close. And that is the light of the knowledge of God's glory. The fifth and sixth verses of 2 Corinthians 4 say, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. You've never heard will you ever hear me preach me like I can offer you salvation from me? Amen. Now, and if you ever encounter a preacher or pastor who is preaching salvation through him or herself, I shouldn't have to say it, but you need to run. Amen. If you find somebody that is that perverted, that twisted, who is proclaiming or professing that they can save you, you need to hurry up and get away from them. Ministers, preachers, pastors, amen, are servants of Jesus Christ. We are servants for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. God commanded physical life into existence back in Genesis. And it is the same God who commands and gives spiritual life, amen, who creates spiritual life in the souls of people, amen, who move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, how does that happen? In Colossians 1, verse 13, Paul describes it like this. He has delivered us, God that is, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his love. And that light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we know that it is because of the love of God that we are saved today, and we know that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He came in human form, amen. And now he said that we are lights in the world, and a city that sit on a hill can't be hidden. So you and I, as reflectors of the light of God, have to continue to let that light shine, that others may be brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's love. See, Dr. Watts was right when he penned the song Amazing Grace. And he said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And see, that's every believer's testimony. Well, it's my testimony for sure, because I know I was lost, and I know I was blind to the goodness, to the love of Almighty God. I was blind to his favor, amen, and I just went on living my life in a sense not even desiring to know the goodness of God. But God, in his infinite mercy, amen, in his infinite mercy, let the light shine through the darkness in my life, amen. And when it shined through, it allowed me to see the goodness of God, and I declare today that I can see clearly, amen, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior, amen, and he came down through 42 generations, amen, was born in an ox stall, raised in a carpenter's house, but one day began his personal ministry and went about doing all kinds of wonders. He lived a perfectly sinless life, performed so many miracles that if you look at the last verse, the 25th verse in the last chapter in the Gospel of John, he says that he did so many things that if all of them were written down, that the books written the world could not contain. But I just want to list a few of the things that Jesus did. He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He fed the multitudes on several occasions. He healed, amen, leprosy. He made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He made, amen, the blind to see, and even raised the dead. Then, one Friday, he gave his life out on Calvary that you and I might have eternal life. Yes, he did. And they buried him in an old borrowed tomb where he laid all night Friday night and all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And I'm so glad that he got up, because now the blind are made to see. Because he got up, those who were in darkness are now in the light. And I just have to say thank you for the light. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for making this blind man able to see. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to me. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you thanks. And we give you glory. Because you're worthy of all of the praise. And you're worthy of all the glory. If you were watching or listening today, and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you right now that your eyes may be open, that you might see all that God has for you. And every blessing that God has for you has your name on it, not mine. And he has prepared just for you blessings that no one else can claim. If you need to receive the Lord, bow your heads and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come now knowing that I'm lost, knowing that I'm blind, knowing that I need a Savior. And Father, I believe the gospel and understand that Jesus Christ is your Son. He died for my sins. He rose and is now standing at your right hand. I pray, dear God, that you would forgive me for my sins. I repent right now. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me eternally. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, understand that you are saved right now. Not next week, not tomorrow, not after you sit anywhere on the mourner's bench, anything people may tell you. Salvation is through praying to receive Jesus Christ. Understand that your sins have been forgiven if you pray that prayer. Because the gospel tells us that if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just. Give us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you weren't in that category by yourself,